job is to obey. So would you just bow your heads, please, because that's what I want to do. Father, I humble myself before you asking for grace, because without your grace, I'm just going to make a mess. But with you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I'm asking you now for the Holy Spirit to just take over my mouth and release what's needed for the saints that are here this night, and even those that are listening, that they may be changed and dramatically overwhelmed by your grace and by your mercy and by your love. Amen? Now, I want to take you to Mark chapter 5, because that's what I heard this afternoon. And in Mark chapter 5, there's quite an incredible story, which was a reality in our Lord's day. Today we call it a story because it's written down, but it's facts. And if you and I are in a church and we talk about a demon-possessed man, we'll definitely, in some churches, raise eyebrows. If you were to go to the Bay State Medical Center or Holyoke or Providence or Mercy, and you told them that you had a demon-possessed man, they would look you in the eye and say, "He's sick. He needs medication." If you went downtown Hollywood and you said, "I have a demon-possessed story," I would make lots and lots and lots of money. And I would not be laughed at. Tell me what's wrong with that picture. In church and in Hollywood, demon-possessed people or demon-infested people are an acceptable truth in some churches and in some places in the movies and even television, but not in the medical field. What's wrong with that? Somebody's not well, they drug you. Somebody's having a hard time with negative forces, they give you more drugs. And they solve the problem by knocking the person out. So that way there, they can have a peaceful night. So I want to take you to chapter 5, verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit. Now it's Jesus that's walking out of the boat. The man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. So he was in a cemetery. This man lived in the tombs and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hands and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Watch verse 5. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Does that record anything in your head? When you hear about teenagers that are cutting themselves, does that ring a bell to you? I mean, if I take a child, teenager, 20-year-old, who's cutting herself or cutting himself, and I bring him to the hospital, they drug him. If I bring him to the average church, they're going to tell you, "Get him out of here, we can't handle that, bring him to the psychiatrist." If I bring him to Hollywood, he makes the best actor and the best actress. What's wrong with the picture? Because they don't want to take the truth. the truth is unacceptable to this generation. Because it says very clearly, cutting himself with stones was part of his ritual. Verse 6 is very important. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" How come this demon-infested man recognizes who this guy is and the Jews can't recognize him? The people in his hometown want to throw him over the hill because they don't know who he is. But a demon-infested man knows who he is. Who's talking through the man? So the demon can talk as long as he's got a mouth. Now I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Did you ever have an encounter with an individual who is screaming and yelling at you for absolutely no reason whatsoever? If you've ever had that kind of an encounter, put one hand up right now. Way up. Put it way up. Shake it around and now look. So you've had a few encounters with a demon-possessed person. Now, most people would say, don't talk about that because that's a dirty subject. Put your hand up. What I wanted you to know is that you're in normal company when Jesus is alive inside of you. And as soon as you open your mouth, the Holy Spirit brings an anointing. And it irritates the darkness in somebody else. Amen? My wife had a commission. We had to go to a particular public building last week. We had a lot of things to do, but she had promised to help somebody. And so she's standing in a court building, and she's waiting for somebody to come to her, and she's been in line for about 20 minutes, and nobody is looking at her like she said. She thought, my God, I must be invisible. So a black man and another friend came over, and they stood next to her, and she says, could you tell me if I'm visible or invisible? She says, there's people in here, in all that office, not one person has come to find out what's wrong with me or what I need. Do you really see if I'm here? Am I real? And so the black man says, absolutely, ma'am, you're definitely real. Can you relate? Why do they ignore the believer? Why do they ignore the one that has the anointing?
It's irritating.
Thank you. So who causes the irritation? Ah, namely the Lord in you. It's not about the demons that are having a problem. It's you irritating them. Huh. Did you ever open your mouth for the wrong reason and all of a sudden they're all jumping on you? Look at what he said. When he saw, or he ran and fell on his knees in front of him, he shouted at the top of his voice. He's not quiet. Demons don't like quiet. What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me. And then it says, for Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you evil spirit. So there was a deliverance in progress. Jesus came to that particular place for one man. Jesus is interested in delivering every individual that is bound. That's the whole reason he came. And I could take you to Mark chapter 16 and show you when we lay hands on the sick, God will deliver them. Yeah. And it doesn't mean you have to go around shouting to everybody, oh my God, I've been set free. Because guess what? you're attracting attention. I remember how many times when Jesus healed somebody, he told them, keep quiet, don't tell anybody, keep your mouth shut. And what do they do? They're all over town. Did you ever tell a child, shh, be quiet? Shh, shh, shh. Tell Gabby to be quiet, she's going to shout it twice as loud. Verse 9. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. So they are territorial. I can remember one time I'm traveling back from down south. And as we cross the river, and then we entered Danbury, Connecticut, it was like I had driven through a wall.
As soon as you entered New England.
It was absolutely unbelievable. I started to pray in the spirit. I had hurting spots in my chest. I had hurting spots in my head. I had arrows in my back. They were spiritual arrows, but they were definitely arrows. And I was suffering, and I'm beginning to pray in the spirit, and the person that's next to me says, what's wrong with you? I said, And as I prayed, it finally released. Now, am I the only one that has ever had that problem? If I'm not the only one, would you put your hand up? Because you need to see that this is real. The war is real. They can't stand you because of the love of Christ that's in you. You're a threat to them. So don't be afraid. You are a threat. You say, how do you prove it? I'll tell you what you do. You go outside and you put a nice black stone there that's been on the ground for about a month and just lift it up and see what happens to the bugs when you have your flashlight on them. And that'll give you a clue of what you do to those demon spirits. They scatter and they can't wait to get back into their little hiding places. I gotta have an amen. They don't want out of the territory because they were familiar. A large herd of pigs, verse 11, was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demon begged, the demons with an S, begged Jesus, send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them. He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. I stress, he gave them permission. They're legalistic and they will obey the word of the Lord through you. If you command them to leave and stay out, they'll never return because you are the authority. If you just tell them to go freely, they'll occupy for a while and they'll come back to try to hound you again. How many have ever had a healing and all of a sudden lost it because you opened your mouth too fast? Mm-hmm. Ah, me too. Why am I telling you this? Because I want you to get an education. I don't want you to be stupid. I don't want you to be dumb. I want you to be aware. Smart guy says, let me do it wisely. Amen? Okay, verse 13, he gave them permission and the evil spirits came out, obviously come out of the man, and went into the pigs, the herd, about 2,000 in number. Now, if you've got 2,000 pigs, you might be pretty wealthy. Amen? Even in that day, 2,000 pigs represented how many dollars? A lot. They rushed down the steep bank and into the lake and were drowned. So what is the purpose of this legion? It's to kill. How many suicides in your city and in your region in the past few years? Do you see the increase in suicides? What is wrong with the picture? What is wrong is the church isn't doing its work in many cases. And the hospitals are not catching a clue. Because it's not a drug that they need to apply. It's deliverance by the blood of the Lamb. Verse 14, very important. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. Watch what the people do now. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there dressed and in his right mind. Now, I didn't write the book. He's dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Why are they afraid? Any clue why they should be afraid?
They don't understand.
They don't understand, but they've got demons too. They may not have as many. But if they're afraid, they're under an anointing of fear. Fear is not from God. Fear is a demon spirit as well. Did Jesus deliver them? No. That tells me that the man with the legion has been praying to the Most High God. That tells me that this man was a man that wanted to know and wanted his freedom at all cost. He might have been crying out, but inside his heart, he's saying, Papa God, don't forget me. Lord Jesus, wherever you are, however he anointed himself, he was crying out to God for freedom. And God moved his son by the Holy Spirit, brought him across the lake for one man. For one man. Look at your neighbor. He might be coming across the lake just for you. Just for me. Yeah. Okay? They were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Verse 17. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region because they love their demons. The story hasn't changed. Huh?
Because they're familiar.
They're familiar and they're comfortable with their demons.
So
and God...
Demons anymore?
Huh? It'll cause some problems, so that if you're smart, you'll keep your mouth shut. And wait for your strength to be built up so you'll know what to do and when to say it. And that's why Jesus told them, be quiet. Don't tell anybody what happened to you. So a lot of times there's wisdom in being quiet. Because when you open your mouth too quickly, those who are jealous, those who are angry because you got free and they didn't, will have something to say to their little gods. Because you see, demons call themselves gods. Okay? Jesus, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Verse 19, Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. So what's this man? He's an evangelist. Who's been praying for him besides himself? Most probably his family. Because Jesus is sending him back. They're waiting for him. They love him. They need him. Otherwise, if they were not believers, he wouldn't have sent them back for more problems. If you heard in between the lines what I'm trying to make you see, when you read this story again, because it is a story for us, but it was a reality in that day. The same thing happens over and over, because I've seen it in my own relationships to many. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to give you wisdom. Sometimes the best medicine is to shut up.
Amen.
I'm sorry, but that's the bottom line. Shut up. You're advertising and you're irritating them. And they're going to backbite. And they're going to slander. And they're going to be jealous. And they're going to pray against you because they can't stand your freedom. Can anybody relate? Okay, so hear where I'm coming from. I'm telling you this with a little bit of wisdom to be careful how and whom you speak to. When you have a miracle, now, I'm not saying you can't share it, but share it when it's time. And with those that have an ear to hear and a heart to perceive. And when the Spirit of God tells you to speak about the good things Jesus has done, it'll be a testimony, and your evangelistic voice will bring salvation into their hearts and freedom into yours. Yes, dear.
While you're talking, I'm hearing the scripture. I had to go look at it because the Lord just brought it into my understanding this week. It's in John 3:19.
Yeah.
The basis of judgment, the test by which men are judged, the ground of the sentence lies in this. The light has come into the world, and people have loved the darkness rather than and more than light, for their works were evil. For every wrongdoer hates the light and will not come out into the light, but shrinks from it, lest his works be exposed. But he who practices truth comes out into the light, so that his works may be plainly shown to be what they are, wrought with God.
Again,
John 3:19-21.
Thank you. How many see the confirming in that word? Wisdom. Wisdom is usually gained because we make boo-boo after boo-boo after boo-boo, and pretty soon we say, wait a minute, I think I better learn to be quiet. So do me a favor. Would you put your head over your heart right now, please? Close your eyes. And say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I've got wisdom right now. Available just for me.
Available just for me.
Help me to keep my mouth shut.
Help me to keep my mouth shut.
And not to advertise in the front of the enemy.
And not to advertise in the front of the enemy.
Causing problems for myself and for you.
Causing problems for myself and for you.
Because when I rejoice,
between me and you,
the glory goes back to you, not to me. And so when people are saved,
as a byproduct of my testimony,
the glory goes to Jesus,
and not to me.
Hallelujah. Thank you for this grace tonight. That I can learn to keep my mouth shut.
That I can learn to keep my mouth shut.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.